Pandemic relief dollars are bringing internet access to places that didn't have it. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. We've been talking for more than a year now about how the internet is everything, and there are still places in the U.S. where there basically is none. Like Allendale, South Carolina, a town of around 3,000 people not far from the Georgia border. Officials called it an internet desert. But the state got $50 million in CARES Act money for broadband expansion and used some of it to install a wireless network in Allendale that runs at broadband speeds. It's operated by a local ISP and free to residents through the end of October. Jim Stritzinger is South Carolina's broadband coordinator. He says the state went with wireless over fiber broadband because it's fast to deploy. They went from nothing to offering service in 61 days.
We've tested as high as 78.6. So by that, I mean 78 meg download speed, 6 meg upload speed, which is over twice the federal standard of 25.3. And in the state of South Carolina, we've kind of adopted this wireless bridge to a wired future theory. And we're keenly aware that there's so many six-year-olds out there that don't have internet at home, and we want them to have something quickly. But we also don't want fixed wireless to prevent a home from getting, you know, fiber to the home in the future. So we think it's really kind of a 1-2 punch where you get wireless deployed fast, and then you come back and you backfill with hopefully fiber to the home.
Do you see that same ISP doing that infrastructure work? Do you hope to attract other ISPs by saying, hey, there's demand and real need in this area?
Well, I think it's interesting because when you think about an internet desert, a place where internet's never been before, I really learned a lesson going out to this area and working so much because there are no Ring video doorbells. There's no smart homes. There's no Netflix being streamed on family homes. There's a real need to lift up these families and help them advance their capabilities at home. So when you think about that, there's a need first to connect the family, mm-hmm. lift up their capabilities, and then longer term, their demands for bandwidth increase because they start doing more sophisticated things. But the most important thing is to get them connected fast. And it won't shock you that if you can see there's adoption of internet down a street, for example, if you get 20 people signing up for wireless service down one street, that's great insight for the fiber provider to come in after the fact and build fiber to the home. So it's really smart in a lot of ways, and it helps provide great line of sight for the fiber to the home providers to come in.
What do you think the future looks like? There's all this American Rescue Plan money flowing to states. There is potentially going to be money for broadband infrastructure in the infrastructure bill that's being debated. What do you think that could mean for you in terms of future projects?
It really harkens back to the 1930s when electricity was deployed in rural America. And I'm excited to have a chance in my lifetime to do what that generation did for electricity. I want to do the same thing for broadband. So I'm expecting that a large investment from the state's American Rescue Plan money will be made into broadband. And candidly, I think we're going to try to fix the state in 3 years is kind of my goal. I would love to be able to give everybody something in the next 3 years, and that would be extraordinary.
You know, it is hard for many Americans to conceive of a place that doesn't have internet. Like, what does that mean for economic development?
Yeah, so if your community doesn't have internet, you know, I think back to the days of ghost towns out west, and a lot of the ghost towns became that way because they didn't have fresh water. And in this day and age, entrepreneurs flock to internet like moths to a flame. mm-hmm. And if you don't have it, the counter is also true. You know, your ability to have new and birth of new business comes from the internet. Your ability as a resident to participate in telehealth. A lot of our rural communities have lost their hospitals. And therefore, you're left with a 90-minute commute to get, you know, an interaction with a medical expert. Mm-hmm. So bringing telehealth in is a big deal. The ability for a student to do their homework at home. And, you know, that's the other thing. A lot of communities are used to having a failover be a local, you know, a McDonald's or a Starbucks might have Wi-Fi. Well, in a place like Allendale, you don't have that. We don't have any retail establishments that can support drop-in students. So we had a combination of really very little retail presence with free public Wi-Fi together with everything else. So Allendale had everything going against it. So to go in and do what we did really gives that community a chance of participating in the digital economy. And we got to do that across the board. I'm looking at every community, and I want, you know, these students that live in these rural communities are beautiful. They're every bit as talented as the ones in the big cities, and just giving them a shot's a big deal.
Jim Stritzinger is South Carolina's broadband coordinator. And now for some related links. A couple more details here on the Allendale Wireless Project. It's basically like a custom LTE network. And Stritzinger admitted that the speeds aren't totally consistent from house to house based on congestion or like a lot of trees. After October, the cost of the service will go from free to about $45 a month. Allendale is in the congressional district of House Majority Whip James Clyburn. He spoke at a press conference for the wireless project this month.
People keep telling me we got to wait on 5G and we ain't got no G. I don't want to talk to them. If I don't have any G at all, give me 2G, 3G, 4G. We'll get the 5G later on. Give me what G's I can get now.
Congressman Clyburn is the sponsor of the Internet for All Act, which would allocate more than $94 billion toward getting affordable, high-speed internet access to unserved and underserved communities. The Biden administration has also budgeted $100 billion in broadband support in its infrastructure proposal. One of the things we've asked on this show related to broadband internet access is, where the heck is AT&T? The big telecom appeared to have stalled in its fiber deployment, so much so that one 90-year-old man spent $10,000 to take out a full-page ad in the Wall Street Journal to demand some decent internet access so he and his wife could stream movies and TV during the pandemic. We actually called AT&T back in March and asked them if they were planning to use wireless instead of fiber to fill in their access gaps. For the record, they said no. And this week, as you probably heard, AT&T announced plans to basically dump its content division, spinning its assets off into a combined company with Discovery, in which it will be an investor. And earlier this year, AT&T also got rid of DirecTV, turning it into a standalone company that will be run by a private equity firm. Now, the story is that these acquisitions had left AT&T with so much debt and so little, you know, bandwidth, that it couldn't effectively focus on its connectivity business, either in terms of fiber or 5G. On an analyst call discussing the deal with Discovery, AT&T CEO John Stankey said the company intends to double its investment in 5G, maybe even overtake Verizon by the end of 2023, and that it intends to double its fiber footprint by the end of 2025. Those folks who can't or won't take out full-page newspaper ads will be waiting. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. It's listeners like you who make Marketplace Tech possible. When you donate $7 a month, you can get our new Liquid Assets Mason Jar mug, along with some cocktail and mocktail recipes from Marketplace hosts, including a couple from me. Get yours by becoming a Marketplace investor today at marketplace.org/givetech. And cheers.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.